Blog Talk Radio.
To the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you so much once again for taking time out of your very busy life to join me today on my podcast. Well, today is Thursday, September 21st, 2022. Hadas Najafi was never political. But the death of Mahsa Amini motivated her to join the protesters and be her voice. On Wednesday, September 21st, 2022, Hadas went out on the streets of Karaj, defying the government hijab law, and was shot dead by violent security forces. Today, I want to take the time to dedicate this program to all of the brave female freedom fighters who are in a fierce struggle every day for just a normal life in Iran. And in particular today, let us remember the beautiful, courageous 22-year-old Hadas Najafi. All she wanted to do was go out and say no to the hijab law. And there is a video of her tying back her hair. And seconds later, she is shot dead on the streets of Karaj. Today on the Cross in the Desert, I want you to hear their stories. And so I'm not going to waste any time. I want you to hear for the next 4 to 5 minutes the brave female freedom fighters and the fierce struggle for a normal life in Iran.
Fall 2022, a revolution has begun in Iran, and women are fighting on the front line. It's about women being able to dress as they wish, think as they wish, do as they wish. This is about woman, life, freedom. The protests have been met with violence.
The barbaric regime telling me, the woman, that you are not allowed to show your hair.
A struggle uniting activists, artists, and intellectuals. Iranian women are fighting back like never before. It's the first feminist revolution in the world. Protests were sparked by the death of a young woman, Gina Mahsa Amini. She was arrested in Tehran by the notorious morality police. Her crime? Not being dressed as the law requires. After her arrest, she collapsed in the police station. She was taken to a hospital with severe head injuries and died shortly afterwards. Gina's family is certain that her death was the result of police brutality. An unprecedented wave of protests gripped the nation.
The murder of Mahsa Amini unleashed this rage, and it gave them a way to explode.
Woman, life, freedom became the rallying cry of the protests. The women had had enough of the hijab.
It's very, very important. The headscarf is a symbol of the Islamic government.
Schools became the site of protests. Young people rose up. And in this deeply patriarchal society, another form of revolution has been taking place. Women are receiving strong solidarity from men.
The entire Iranian society has felt the consequences of suppressing freedoms, which are corruption, poverty, and discrimination.
Iranian pop star Mehdi Yarahi is one of the many who have paid dearly for supporting the women. He dedicated this song to them in August 2023. It encourages women to take off their headscarves. The regime declared his actions illegal, and he was arrested. The state responded to the protests with extreme violence. More than 20,000 people have been arrested so far. Death sentences have been carried out. More than 2,000 schoolgirls were poisoned. Many suspect the regime, but there have been no conclusive investigations. 16-year-old Nikah Shakarami was abducted at a demo and imprisoned. Later, her body was found with the marks of torture. The regime declared it a suicide. Since the beginning of the revolt, people all over the world have stood in solidarity with Iranian women. They're also demanding an end to the Iranian dictatorship.
For freedom.
International female celebrities and other women cut part of their hair and posted the images online. Hair is political, says Iranian Masi Alinejad. For years, she's been campaigning in exile for feminist issues.
I ask women whether they want to share their pictures with me, selfie moment of freedom with me. I was bombarded by pictures from women inside Iran being unveiled. So I created my selfie freedom page on Facebook, on Instagram, and it's all about freedom. It's all about dignity. It's all about choice.
For nearly 90 years, Iranian women's hair has been the subject of political and religious battles.
And there you have it, a short soundbite, but it gives the encapsulated version of what's been going on for the last year. And actually, many people are convinced, like myself, that this is not going to end. They may have subdued forces for a while in the streets, but these women are not going to step down. They are relentless. I want us to continue listening to their stories, and so I want you to sit back and now listen to this second soundbite as we today dedicate the program to female freedom fighters and the fierce struggle for a normal life in Iran.
Now, a year ago in Iran, there was violence, but there was growing belief, too, that the repressive regime could eventually be overthrown. But far from bringing change, we have harrowing accounts tonight of the authorities digging in and cracking down hard. Protesters, many of them women, have been killed, tortured, raped and blinded in what Amnesty International has called a year of unspeakable cruelty. The people had risen up after the death in the custody of the morality police of a young woman. Mahsa Amini had been arrested last September for not wearing her Islamic headscarf properly. Police blamed her death on a heart attack. Her family said she was beaten. The wave of protests for upholding women's rights that were triggered by Mahsa's death quickly spread across Iran and around the world. They were met with that brutal crackdown by the regime that has continued unabated for a year, as its victims who have fled the country in fear have been telling us.
3-year-old Juan looks to her mother for security and reassurance. Under cover of darkness, the little girl was smuggled out of Iran 5 months ago, drugged to keep her quiet on the journey to safety with her mum.
The regime is destroying the future of our children. When Mahsa was killed, I thought that could be me, that could be Juan. Everything I do is for my daughter. That gives me a power to carry on.
Seema was shot at point-blank range by government forces in the protests after Mahsa Amini's death. There are 200 metal pellets still in her arm.
I've never seen a regime in history behave like the Islamic Republic. I witnessed them killing and shooting their own unarmed people. It is criminal. All we want is a normal life. It's our right.
Kurdistan, northern Iraq, is their haven to start over. As Iranian Kurdish women like Mahsa Jina Amini, here they can feel freer.
I'm 22. For young people in Iran, we can only do what the government orders, not what we want or feel. That is no life.
But the realities of this battlefield are clear. Paria, her sister Diana, and her mother have since joined the Iranian opposition group Kamala.
I feel stronger, safer, more powerful. I now know how to use a weapon to defend myself. I am ready to defend anyone.
Nasim and Paria are both trained fighters, both with the same beliefs.
After Gina was killed, there was an explosion of anger. The regime was in shock. They realized they no longer had the loyalty of the people. Removing the hijab showed that they would no longer do what the regime told them to. That feeling has not gone away. It will not stop, and we will win.
Kamala, this group of Kurdish fighters has existed since 1969, but an increasing number of women have wanted to join since the uprising began. We went to their headquarters.
I think it's more than 100 women that came to Kamala.
Korsor leads the women's unit, a woman who has fought against ISIS.
As a woman, I can fight. This is the time, this is the situation, this is the battle. So I'm a Peshmerga. Yeah, I can do it. Women themselves are a big enemy of the Iranian regime. So if they can control women, they can control the society.
With their hair loose and uncovered inside Iran this week, defiance and disdain for the government walk the streets. The woman, life, freedom movement, now a quiet revolution, but still a bold one.
These are amazing women who are not backing down, and the government has been relentless, even shooting them in the eyes with pellets. I want you to hear this special report.
Elahi had never taken part in protests before. Now in exile in Italy, she says that after Mahsa Amini's death, she felt compelled to take a stand. That's the sound of the bullet that changed her life. She's rushed to help young protesters who've been shot while pulling down pictures of the supreme leader. She came here for medical treatment. Surgeons removed the bullet from her head, but couldn't save her right eye.
It was like losing a loved one. An eye is a part of someone's beauty. I'm just one of many wounded protesters. Even though he shot my eye, my heart is still beating. My heart beats for life, for Iran, for the people of Iran.
It beats, too, with the agony of separation for her twins, now being looked after by their grandparents.
The last moment I was with my children before I was shot, I had bought them school supplies. All their clothes and hands were covered with blood, and they kept shouting, "My mom was killed." It was a tough moment. I can never forget it.
So many Iranians suffered terribly in a brutal crackdown against the women-led uprising. Hundreds were killed. Thousands upon thousands were arrested and seven executed. The protests eventually died down, but not the widespread fury that had ignited them. One Western diplomat estimates that around the country about 20% of Iranian women now go out unveiled. They know they're being watched and that they risk being fined, denied public services, or jailed. I get in touch with a 20-year-old music student in Tehran on a messaging app. We agreed not to use her name and to delete our conversation immediately.
I couldn't have imagined that I could be this brave before Mahsa's death. We just needed a tiny spark to light the fire. So even though I feel scared to my bones, whenever I pass the morality police, I keep my head high and I pretend that nothing is happening.
Mojgan Ilanlu, a prominent filmmaker, began posting pictures of herself unveiled last year. She was jailed for several months after also criticizing Iran's supreme leader. She says a profound social revolution is taking place across classes and across the country. Extraordinarily, she spoke to me from Tehran without wearing the veil.
What has changed after Mahsa's death is men's public opinion of women. In the streets, in the metro, in bazaars, they praise women's courage, even at family gatherings, which I believe is the most significant fruit of Mahsa's movement.
Back in the suburbs of Milan, Elahe has no idea when she'll be able to go home. She still needs an operation so she can close her eyelid over her new glass eye. But she tells me she has no regrets.
I don't regret it because I can't remain silent in the face of oppression. It was for the freedom of my homeland, for my people, for the next generation. Whenever I'm speaking to the kids, we always say that we hope we'll be reunited in Iran in better days.
These are incredibly brave women shot in the eyes with pellets, and they refuse to back down. I want to conclude our program today in my dedication to the female freedom fighters and the fierce struggle for a normal life in Iran from my book, Uprising, The Last Hours of the Life of Hadas Najafi. The angry, loud shouts of protesters filled the cool night air on Iran Boulevard. It was just a few minutes before 8 p.m. as Hadas turned on her cell phone. She aimed the camera toward the protesters filling the streets. Just up ahead, she noticed a bonfire in the center of the street and watched several women setting their headscarves on fire. Running swiftly toward the scene, Hadas began narrating the live video she was creating for her friends. "This is a scene of women burning their hijabs," Hadas shouted out loud in laughter. "You go, girls." In the distance, she heard sirens and more angry shouts of protesters chanting. Tonight, she felt energized and unafraid. She had never been to a protest before. Hadas remembered back to 2019 when more than 1,500 peaceful protesters were gunned down in the streets. At that time, she vowed to never be political and just mind her own business. But all of that suddenly changed with the death of Gina. Tonight was personal. Tonight, she had to make a stand for the women of Iran. She regretted her decision for being so selfish and passive a few years ago. But that had all changed. Passing a local hardware store, Hadas paused, catching her breath, and she spoke directly into her cell phone, continuing to film the protest. "I hope in a few years, when I look back, I will be happy that things have changed for the better. I like to think that when I look back at this a few years later, I'll be pleased that I joined the protest." A few women following close behind her began chanting, "Woman, life, freedom." They were carrying signs with a picture of Gina Mahsa Amini. At the bottom of the sign, it read, "We are all Mahsa." Hadas was excited to see that two young men were in the crowd of women chanting along with them. It was so encouraging for her to see men involved in the uprising and defending the rights of women. Suddenly, the sounds of security forces yelling for protesters to halt or they would shoot startled Hadas. Beads of sweat began rolling down her face. She took an angry, deep breath and vowed once again to not be afraid. Putting her cell phone in her pants pocket, Hadas stood still for a moment. She tied back her blonde hair into a ponytail and twisted a rubber band around it to hold it into place. An exhilarating feeling of courage surged through her body. Tying back her hair was like preparing for battle. Tonight, Hadas was making a bold statement to the government that she refused to comply with the man-centered hijab law. This was her hair. This was her body, and no man had the right to control it or tell her what to do. Clashing with the protesters, beating some in the head with their batons, instead of cowering in fear, Hadas closed her eyes, and in her mind's eyes, she remembered back to her favorite movie, Braveheart. She could see the chilling scene where William Wallace was laying across a torture rack and the king pleading with him to recant and beg for mercy. She smiled, remembering the famous last shout from William Wallace's lips when he screamed, "Freedom!" The first shot terrified Hadas. She clutched her abdomen in excruciating pain. A barrage of shots immediately followed the first one, sending frightened protesters scrambling for cover. Hadas collapsed backwards on the hard pavement, struck by five more bullets in the neck, chest, and face. The beautiful blonde freedom fighter, dead on the street, in Karaj, in a massive pool of blood. She had made her courageous last stand on Iran Boulevard, in the city of Karaj, unafraid and unashamed to die as a martyr for freedom in the never-ending struggle against the agenda apartheid in Iran. From my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, the story of Hadas Najafi preparing for battle. I want us to think about the courageous female freedom fighters and the fierce struggle they have every day for a normal life in Iran as you Christian rock group, Fireflight. It really defines these women. This is a song called Unbreakable.
Never.
powerful music from Firefly, a dedicated song to these fierce female freedom fighters in Iran, Unbreakable. I'm also thinking about a very young 15-year-old schoolgirl, and this was on October 12th. It's coming up to that anniversary. It seems like these are all anniversaries of young girls, young freedom fighters, brutally killed in Iran. Her name, Azra Panahi. What was her crime? She was a 15-year-old schoolgirl in Ardabil, Iran. She was a student at Shahad Girls School. She was a very, very talented, gifted swimmer, had a great future ahead of her. She could have been in the Olympics, but she refused to sing the anthem dedicated to the supreme leader. Her and many other students refused to sing it, especially after Gina Mahsa Amini's death. And because she refused to sing, in comes the and began beating these young schoolgirls. She died later of brain damage in a hospital. Her voice was silenced by a cruel government who refused her right not to sing. This young Iranian swimmer won my heart. She refused to honor a dictator. She refused to sing for a murderer. She spoke up all boldly for all Iranian women and the rest of the women in the world. Her name, Azra, I Refused to Sing, is in my book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. I really, really pray that you will get a copy of my book on Amazon and read the stories of these incredibly brave female freedom fighters and join me in never letting the world, never letting the government of Iran ever forget their names, ever forget who they were and what they stood for, because they have won my heart forever. These are women who, despite all risks to their lives, all odds, said one night, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say what's on my mind. I'm going to take my headscarf off and I'm going to say to this government, you will not control me. You will stop oppressing me. That reminds me, again, of the song you're going to hear in the next few seconds. They will not force us. They will stop degrading us. They will not control us, and we will be victorious. That song is a legendary song, Muse. Let us remember these brave female fighters as we listen to the chorus of this song. God bless you. Have a great weekend.